hour. And last Monday of the month makes it an opportunity for me to welcome in City Manager Ed Gordon, members of the staff and or management of the city, for our City Matters program. And first of all, welcome in Mr. Gordon.
Hey, good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
I trust you've had a delightful week.
It has been an excellent week so far.
But this first day of the week.
Weather-wise, it's going to be nicer this week.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Hey, a couple of and the city.
Yes.
Our water supply. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But our Hudson Lake, which is our municipal lake, is down about 8 inches.
Okay.
So we got plenty of water there. Of course, both of our the other lakes, Copan and Hula, both of them are full. Our primary water supply is Hula, and it's full. And of course, there's water in the Caney River, and we've been drawing water out of the Caney. We'll talk about that with our water utilities director, Mike Lortz, Terry Lortzen.
Not to be with Mike Hall.
Mike Hall. Yeah. That was a Freudian slip.
Or fraudulent slip.
Fraudulent. I think it's probably more fraudulent. By the way, they were talking about our chief is here. Morning, Chief Holland.
Boss, how you doing? Good to be here.
Yeah, we were just talking about that collection that's strung together of the cats and dogs, the community bulletin board for lost cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Of course, Chimp's off his medication, and they've lost Chimp. But Charlie, you were talking about that string of barks and meows.
Yeah, a broadcast friend of ours in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, kind of put the whole opening sequence together, but he found that little cat saying "I want my mama" off of some Charles Osgood report one morning, and just anyway, as long as he was able to put it together for us creatively, it works well for me. So you know,
super.
My wife could take our cat and squeeze it like that and make it do that. A couple of announcements. Here at the last city council meeting, Mayor Tom Gorman announced that Ward 4 opening needs to be filled.
Yes.
And the city of Bartlesville is taking applications for Ward 4. And if you're interested, a couple of things. First, you need to go online to the city's website. And there you can find the ward boundaries on the front page of the city's website, cityofbartlesville.org.
The current ward boundaries, not the proposed ones.
Well, we have both. There's an article there that says council starts process for ward boundary change. That's another item. But in that article, down at the bottom, you can click on the link. It's the current ward map. It shows where the existing Ward 4 is and all the wards. And then there's the proposed redistricting map, which has not been adopted by council yet, but is proposed. And you can see the future, if the council chooses to adopt it. It is not mandatory, but as they try and rebalance the populations, it's been a number of years since that's been done.
1993, as I recall.
That is correct. And so they're looking at that, and if they adopt that, then the new Ward 4 boundaries will change, as will a couple of others. So here's an opportunity. If you live in Ward 4 and you feel like you'd like to represent the folks of Ward 4, then you can submit a resume or an application to the City of Bartlesville, the City Manager's Office, and we'll receive those. And they'd like to, by the first meeting in February, which I think is February the 1st, first Monday in February.
It is.
And there we will, the City will interview those applicants if we have some.
So those deadline on the applications to be in is this week?
27th. Yes, that would be day after tomorrow.
That would be this Wednesday, yes.
That's correct. Also, Charlie, along with that, we are changing ward boundaries. And just want to mention that again. They can go to the City of Bartlesville website, scroll down to the bottom, and there's a link that will take you to that, and they can review that. And I'm sure that the city council members are looking for input from the public, and they solicit that. And you can find on the city council link, you can find your council member and your ward if you have comments about the redistricting, and you can contact your council member for that.
If adopted, those would become effective August 8th, which is the first day of the filing period for the next council election.
That's right, because it's at the first general election in November. All right, Charlie, having walked through that, let's a couple of housekeeping items. I'd like to introduce this morning our Chief of Police Department, Tom Holland, who's already a spoken once. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, boss. Good to be here.
And immediately on your left, you have someone with you. Who is that?
I do. I have Captain Jerry Kelly. He's captain over the Barville Police Reserves, and he has graciously agreed to join us this morning. And
graciously.
Graciously.
Is that how you define this, Jerry?
That's how I would define it.
You define it. I think I should probably refer to you as Captain Kelly. Is that right?
Well, either way will work. Jerry's fine.
Jerry's fine?
Yeah.
He had a number of things to say when I told him you wanted him here this morning.
I'm certain he probably did. And the way you probably proposed it had a lot to do with his response.
Better him than me.
Yeah, I understand. Jerry, you're here. By the way, I just did a little research. You're 45 years old.
Yes, I am.
Okay, I just...
Children.
The chief is twice his age. You grew up in this area.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from Dewey. I grew up there, was educated there my entire school years, and then moved off to Tulsa for a year or so. Moved back to this great town and been here ever since.
And you own your own business?
Yes.
What is your business?
I own Able Electric.
And how long have you been working for Able or with Able Electric? I can't remember when you did, but go ahead.
I've worked with the previous owner for Able Electric for many, many years. He had passed away and I had purchased it from him or from his wife. I've actually been in the electrical business since a year after graduation. So I've been in it for 20 plus years.
So Able Electric Company, a great organization, an honest, reputable firm, and appreciate the work you do there as a business. But along with you being a businessman, you have another business.
I am in the business to help out the citizens of this great town.
And that is that you are a reserve officer.
Yes.
And how long have you been with the Bartlesville Police Reserves?
I joined the Bartlesville Police Reserves in January of 2003.
So if you do the math on that, that means that you've been with them for about 13, 14 years, somewhere
in
there?
About 13 years, yeah.
Yeah. And your current... Why did you want to be a reserve officer?
Well, you know, as everybody always says, you want to help the community and you want to do things to try to better everything. First off, that's what my initial conversation was. As you get into it, you realize that you're one of few that are able to assist and do things. And when you finally get out and you do stuff, you start to understand that it takes the whole gamut of everybody doing stuff. It's not just a one-man show. It's everybody's assistance that helps with it. So you're not the only one.
And that I think that attitude is why you're the Reserve Officer of the Year. That's not trumpeted, but you quickly are giving credit. It's the group.
It's the group. That's what it is. It's the group to me. Nothing could be done by one person. Nothing can be done by me solely. It's everybody.
And how many reserve officers are there currently?
Right now we have currently 13.
And, of course, you're the captain. You head that group up.
I've been captain since 2007.
And I think Rich Moberly...
Rich Moberly was previous captain.
Was the previous captain.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd served there...
He's right at 30 years.
That he was with the police reserves. He kind of retired from the police reserves and... had become an institution. What great leadership he provided. Now you stepped into that position and providing that same good leadership that that organization needs, that vision.
Well, I wouldn't say stepped in. I would say write me a letter and now you're it. So I was kind of tagged in, basically.
Okay. Tag you're it?
Tag you're it.
All right. Well, I'm glad they tagged you. And so there are 13 other reserve officers with you.
Correct.
There are a couple of them that I know that work at the city.
Mm-hmm. Several that you know. I think Miss Lunsford is one of those.
Debbie Kim?
Especially that you know, yes.
Yes, she typically invites me to the banquet and I get to sit at her table. This year she did not invite me.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of those pregnant pauses there,
okay.
Emphasis. I'm not. She didn't. I think she must be mad at me. But... Chief, what does it take to become the Reserve Officer of the Year? Who selects that? Who selects the Reserve Officer?
Well, the Reserve Officer selected, and when I got there that evening for the banquet, I could tell Jerry was just a little embarrassed because typically he's involved in selecting someone else. But this year the unit insisted Jerry was going to be the reserve officer of the year. And it's just a little different to be the captain and be the reserve officer of the year.
So he is selected. The city of Bartlesville and the police department really doesn't have, they don't select the reserve officer.
No, no.
It's done by their own.
By their own peers.
Their own vote of their own peers, yes. Internally, they select that person.
And it's a great selection because I can tell you, Jerry has held this all together. We've had a lot going on. We've had needs for these officers, and we are down. He mentioned 13. We'd love to get that up into the 20s. And it's not easy to become a reserve. You've got to pass background and do basically what the full-time paid officers go through. And then you've got to go to an academy on your own, usually at night. Usually the one that's starting right now is in Pryor. Can you imagine going there, you know?
Three or four nights a week.
Three or four or five nights a week to get your training. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Well, it is difficult, and the hours, the number of hours that the reserve officers serve, as they step in or step alongside, we have, I think, 56 other officers.
Yes.
In the city of Bartlesville, commissioned officers that are on the street, and the reserve officers literally become an extension of the police department.
And they are.
Oh, absolutely. And when they're on duty, when they're wearing that badge, they are Oklahoma police officers.
And I'm not, Jerry, I apologize for not being at the banquet. I'll do that publicly. I was providentially hindered. How many hours this year do you remember the number of hours total that were served by the reserves?
I'm thinking with the 13 officers that we've acquired, somewhere around 4,500 to 4,800 hours.
And that's two full-time police officers, the equivalent thereof, 2080.
Right.
We work 2080 a year as employees of the city of Bartlesville, and so that is more than the equivalent of two full-time officers. And of course, it would be difficult for us to operate without you. Before we talk about what you do, if I want to become a reserve, and I've applied twice, and the chief has Rocky's turned me down twice.
Understand? I promoted him as a result of that.
Okay, we'll talk later after the radio show. Jerry, if someone wants to become a reserve officer, what do they need to do?
Well, you can either one of two ways. You can go out to our website, which is BeevillePoliceReserve.org. And up at the top, you can click on the link that says wanting to be a part of this great community. And there's an application there that you can download and fill out and return. Or you can just take the easiest way and go down to records and talk to Joe down there, and she'll give you a copy of an application. You can fill it out and turn it back in, and that'll start the lengthy process of all of that.
So you can go down to the corner of Hensley and Johnstone,
mm-hmm.
and there go in the door and turn left as you go
left.
Through the door.
Yep.
And there's a service desk, and you can talk to Joe, and Joe will hand you an application.
Sure will.
That's pretty easy. Chief, let's give out a number. If they have let's give out Rocky or Beth's number so that if folks have questions, I think they can give a call.
Well, by far the best number for this would be to call 918-338-4050. And Beth will probably be the one to pick that up, but if not, someone else will, and just tell them what they need, and we'll get that ball rolling.
All right, and Jerry, back to you. Your position, what is it that you do? What are you responsible for in the reserves?
Well, it's just a large gamut of things, actually. Not only coming out and helping full-time officers when the need arises, just taking control of the group and making sure that everybody's kind of doing their fair share, making sure that all the events that our citizens want to hold in the area are taken care of and covered. First and foremost for safety, you know, with 5K runs and parades and everything that the reserve program works, we want to make sure that everybody attends that, participates in that, or even watches that is safe in this area, you know.
And So, Jerry, the reserve officers participate in those public events, but also there are other events that take place at other times where you provide backup and security to the police department.
Yeah, we go out on patrols normally with other officers. A select few of us are given the opportunity to go out solo patrol. We just do whatever we can in that area, whether it be assisting with traffic stops or assisting with particular calls. Maybe we just get left on the sideline at a call so that way that officer can get back in his normal duties, and we'll stand by and wait for whatever we need to wait for, and that way that full-time officer can continue his paid obligation to the city.
And I tell you, to those reserve officers, past and present, I thank God for you all and the job that you do providing security to our community. That unsung, here again, unsung heroes, because you're, and don't misunderstand me, but you're volunteers.
Volunteers, 100%. We work full-time jobs. Some of us work two full-time jobs just to make ends meet, and then we come out in our off hours and fulfill this obligation to the city as a reserve.
Chief, as we kind of wrap this up, give us your thoughts on the reserves, and specifically I want you to Jerry's here, so talk about Jerry a little bit from your perspective as chief of the police department.
Typically when we need a reserve officer's help, we need it right then. And a lot of the help we need has to do with transporting individuals that need to go through a mental evaluation, and we're required to do that by state law, the police.
I remember.
That's Wagner, 164 miles round trip, so I may be getting that a little wrong, but it's a long way.
It's a very long way.
Jerry is a one-stop shopping. We call Jerry and say, this is what we need. And he goes into high gear to try to find us somebody. And if we can find a reserve that's available, and that's not always easy because they do work one and two jobs. But if we can find one, we save on hire back, time and a half. We keep officers on the streets. Don't have to pull someone off. So they're part of the Barville Police Department.
And Jerry, you're a man of integrity. You're responsible. The city council, speaking on their behalf, and administration, and the citizens of the grateful citizens, thank you for being a part of that thin blue line that provides that protection. And you talked about solo protection. I remember in the 2007 flood, specifically, where you and I had a couple of times to interface about solo protection.
I think that was going around the barricade. We won't get into that this morning.
So, do you want to talk about that?
No, that's
another story.
Yeah, that's another story for another time.
I think Tom Holland told me I could do that.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean a car?
Jerry, congratulations. I'm going to shake your hand.
Well,
appreciate all the work that you do, my friend.
Thank you.
God bless you. And again, keep it, stay in there. And if we can do anything as a community for the reserves, as a city, you let us know.
All right. I appreciate the time, and thank you to everybody in the city for allowing us to help out and assist with their needs and wants.
You bet, Jerry. Thanks for coming in. Tom, good to see you this morning.
Thank you very much. Charlie, thank you.
Thanks,
you know, you and I get to start our day with Mr. Potter and Mr. Gordon. Doesn't get any better.
We are fortunate men.
We are.
Yes, you are. Thank you.
And,
all right.
We're shifting into a new cast of characters.
We are. We've got, I have two directors. First of all, we have the Director of Engineering Services with us today. This is Mr. Micah Seemers.
Micah.
I wrote Micah, but I mean, it doesn't matter. There are other names that I've called you this morning.
That's true. Good morning.
First of all, let's start with a couple of housekeeping items. Tell us what's going on.
Well, so we've got a project over on Interurban Creek. They're north of Tuxedo, west of Highway 75. They're around Roselawn to Howard. And we're just now getting to the portion there along Howard Avenue. So we have closed that portion right there at the creek crossing so that we can, they've actually removed the existing drainage structures underneath that road, and we'll be replacing with larger structures. So we've got that shut down. We're expecting hopefully no more than about 2 weeks for this immediate closure. Once we get the boxes back in, we'll get it built up with gravel so we can open it back up until we can get some better weather for asphalt. But it's closed for about 2 weeks right now.
And of course, this is a weather sensitive project because it is on that it's a drainage project.
Correct.
And of course, if it's snowing or raining and it's wet, you can't work there.
That's right.
But barring any rain days, when do you anticipate? Yeah, barring any rain days, when do you that's your job, Charlie, by the way, to keep us out of the rain.
Yes, sir.
When do you anticipate completion on this project, this interurban project?
I think we've got it slated for early March when we wrap this up. They're actually, like I said, they're moving on to this portion. I think we've only got a few hundred feet left of the channel. So they're making pretty good progress on it, but we should be done here end of February, first part of March, I believe, if all goes well.
Okay, and so that's a stormwater project.
Correct.
Folks don't probably know. I'm off the top of my head. I can't remember how many miles of storm drainage pipes and systems we have in the city.
364,000.
I don't know. He made that up.
We don't know. We don't know.
For instance, I know they're like, sir.
1,000 less than are going around the world.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, it's, if you think about it, the sewer lines in the ground, we have over 500 miles of sewer, and water's about equivalent to that. Lane miles of streets, we have over 500 lane miles of street that we have to take care of, and of course stormwater infrastructure, the boxes and the pipes and the open ditches and the detention areas are all over town.
We've got a lot,
and multiple tens of millions of dollars worth of infrastructure in stormwater, and we have to take care of that.
That's true.
Micah, the other projects that we want to talk about, I know you've got one down on in the James Phillips edition.
We do.
I think Terry, that's kind of a mixture between wastewater maintenance system of the system and part of it. Terry, you want to just comment on that real quick?
Sure. Well, it's one
Terry
of the.
Martin, by the way, Director of Water Utilities.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, they can see me, can't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here, let Charlie focus the camera.
Yeah. That is one of the ongoing things that we have to do with our wastewater collection system is to do maintenance to ensure that stormwater does not infiltrate into the system. So our sewer system is not a combined flow system with the storm sewer, so we don't want stormwater getting into the wastewater system. And so a part of that process is we go in and do point repairs and different rehabs on the various lines in that area to ensure that the wastewater stays in the wastewater pipe and the stormwater stays out. So that's what they're doing in that area.
So, and where exactly is that taking place?
Well, we have two phases that are going on. One's in the James Phillips area, and that's being done by TriStar Construction. And then we have another one that's around the Kane Elementary School area, and that's done by TG Excavating. So we have two contracts that are active right now doing that type of work.
So we'll see that folks that are being impacted by this or have the potential to be impacted will be receiving notification.
Yeah, they'll give at least 48 hours notice of when they will do work in the area. A lot of it, you won't see much evidence on top of the ground. They're doing a lot of the rehab by trenchless type of construction. And so there will be some intermittent service interruptions as they reconnect the service into the new main or the rehab main. But they will provide at least 48 hours notification before they do that type of work.
And typically it's a door hanger.
It's a door hanger that they'll put on the door, so just to notify them.
And Terry, if they have questions, there's a number on there. But at the City of Bartlesville, who can they contact if they have questions?
Well, they can contact Micah's office is actually doing the administration through construction. And they can call his office at 338-4251. Or they can call my office at 338-4116.
Okay. Micah, what other projects do you have going on?
Well, we don't have a whole lot under construction right now. We do have, like you said, we've got those two phases of sanitary sewer rehab. We do have a Cherokee waterline project that's getting started.
Where is that?
That's between 6th and 14th in that area. So we will be upgrading waterline along that stretch.
So it is in the right-of-way, and the crews will be digging down for those several blocks in the right-of-way. They'll be cutting driveways.
Correct.
And they'll have to replace, the city will replace those, and so it's going to be an inconvenience for some and kind of messy.
It will be. With the driveway cuts and whatnot, we'll typically try to have those up and running within a day or so, as quick as we can, but they'll coordinate, the contractor will coordinate with the homeowners, keep them informed.
And who's doing that project?
That is, KSL is doing that project. KSL Dirt Works, a local contractor.
Okay.
So, do a lot of work for us.
TriStar and TG and KSL have a lot of work going on in the city. Mm-hmm. constantly. We got a number. I see future projects where we're doing like skyline moonlight rehab.
Mm-hmm.
That's design is 75% complete. When do you anticipate skyline moonlight rehab?
We anticipate that it'll be late spring, early summer when we go to construction on that.
And then you've got a number of others. There's Osage, Rogers, Spruce Street.
Right.
All over town there'll be these street projects. And when do you anticipate those to start?
Those, again, we're looking at a lot of things this summer. So we've basically got a lot of work to get done on plans, get plans out, get them bid. And there again, those are going to be asphalt projects, the Osage, Rogers, and Spruce. Those will be asphalt overlays. So we need to wait for warmer conditions for the asphalt work.
Because asphalt is temperature sensitive.
Right.
Mike, you've got a large or big project coming up, just $1 million, a little over, on Tuxedo will be rehabbed. What is that?
That's correct. That'll be a mill and overlay from Highway 75 to the Canyon River Bridge, or just short of it, when you see that transition from asphalt to concrete. That's where we'll be stopping on that project. And so that'll be a complete mill and overlay on that project as well. So
Jim Bonzak's thoughts that the shortest distance between two points will be under construction here very shortly.
That's true.
And it is somehow, folks believe, his intention of the city to inconvenience everybody in the city.
Not exactly, but yes.
Okay. That's not a plot,
though.
Terry, Water Utilities Director. Thank you, Micah.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Terry, I know that you have a project that I think is really, as we come to springtime, February, March, spring storms, we have the water plant, the reliability study that we did on our backup systems. Tell us about where we are in that.
Well, this really resulted from an event that took place in 2014 on Labor Day, where we had a power outage, and because of the storm itself and the lightning strikes, it took out our backup system that has the full capability of running the plant. So we did a reliability study of the plant just to see where we're vulnerable, and one of the items that came back from it was that our generator and switchgear components, which sit outside of the plant, are vulnerable to lightning strikes and vulnerable to damage through any kind of wind or tornado type activity. So this hardening project is actually going to enclose the generator and the switchgear to provide a hardened shell for it. So it would be basically an F3 rated structure for tornadoes. And then it does provide lightning suppression. So if there's electrical storms, what have you, then that should be protected from those types of events.
Where are we in that process?
Well, we have a pre-construction this week with the contractor. He's ready to go. So it's a precast concrete structure, so there'll be some time to get everything fabricated. So we won't see much activity on the plant or at the plant for the next 30 to 45 days. And then that should be finished probably within a month from that point forward. So we're looking probably about a 2 to 3 month project from this point to finishing it up.
And backup systems, Terry, I noticed we bid UPS systems last week. What is that?
Well, that's an uninterrupted power supply. So that is your intermittent power source. So once you lose mainline power and before the generator can fire up and take over, you have to bridge the gap. So that's the primary use of that UPS type system, is to bridge the gap. But it also helps to even out the electrical load. If there's spikes and any surges through there, it really kind of smooths it out and protects that sensitive electronic equipment.
And the reason why is because the system is run by computers.
It is. It's very technical, very advanced as far as the systems that run it and operate it. So we have to make sure that we have the measures in place to ensure that they're protected.
And citizens need to understand that, of course, this water plant was built several years ago at a cost of about $41 million.
Yes.
Dollars, and it's a substantial investment as we look to the future in water supply and meeting the contaminant levels. Terry, let's talk quickly about our water supply. How is our water supply?
Water supply has been very, very good. We've had, as many people know, a wet winter, and all the lakes are full. So Copan and Hewler are both above their normal flood stage at this point. And Hudson is just a little bit under the flood stage. It's just about 8 inches down, but still all of them are really higher than what we typically see this time of year.
And Terry, are we drawing water out of the Caney River?
Well, we're getting ready to fire that back up with the rain events and the floods that releases a lot of sediment.
And silty water.
Silty water. And the plant struggles with that, with a high level, high load of sediment. And so the water levels have been dropping that down, and the stream levels have been getting back to normal flow. So we're going to be firing that up very soon.
And how many gallons a day do we typically draw out of that?
We normally draw anywhere from about 1 million gallons a day up to about 2.5.
If they have questions, who can they call?
And call me at 338-4116.
Charlie, it's good to see you this morning. I appreciate staff and the hard work they do.
Always happy to hear from the staff members of the city of Bartlesville and to recognize our volunteers who supplement the police department.
I fully concur. And Charlie, God bless the city of Bartlesville and have a great day.
Thank you very much. And of course, as always, if you have comments on the proposed redistricting, contact your ward representative on the city council.
Not feeling well? Visit Bartlesville Urgent Care next to Aspen Dental. This is AM 1400, KWON Bartlesville.